Welcome, welcome everyone. This is Tej Paul. I'm so happy you're here. It makes me smile because I think I know most of you, almost all of you. And so I feel like I'm in a gathering of people that I really know, and it feels very, very good. So today we are going to explore and to see how we can deepen our healing regarding anxiety and how we can free ourselves from anxiety. And the numbers regarding this situation in the U.S. is pretty crazy because many information is going to tell us that over 40 million of adults in the U.S. are suffering from anxiety, and we're not even talking about people under 18. And so we know also the cost of anxiety is very high in this country. And regarding also my own experience, I have been struggling with anxiety when I was a little kid and still on and off, I know how that situation can be so limiting. And so for some of you that are new to the healing circle, the way we do it is we're going to explore lots of tools. And I usually start with two short meditations. So that's going to be two first tools for you that you can use after the call. And then I will guide you through a process to help you find your specific relationship with anxiety, because most likely they are five main situations. And I suspect you can relate to those five main situations, but there is one situation, or there will be one situation, where you can relate the most. And out of that, we will explore very specific ways to heal and to take action so that you can feel way better. Then I will open the call for questions and answers. And as you know me, I will use my intuition to read your field and to share different insights so that I can help you personally. Sorry, and as you know, there is no coincidence that we are together so that we can learn from each other, even at the energy level. And then we will do at least one more meditation and perhaps two after the question and answers. So that's the way we work together when we do those healing circles. And the session is recorded, so all the information I'm sharing, you can listen to it more than once. However, if you are seated on a chair or on the floor, it's going to be useful if you have a sheet or a couple of sheets and a pen, because you're going to need to take a few notes at some point. Okay? So, let's get going. And so as you are seated, wherever you are seated, either on a chair or on the floor, just close your eyes. And as you are closing your eyes, always check your physical posture. So feel that your face is relaxed, that your face is soft. Also, pay attention to your shoulders, that they are relaxed and at the same time open, that your heart center is open, the center of your chest, that your belly is soft, yet your belly can hold you. Feel that your back muscles also are relaxed. And if you are seated on a chair, that your feet are touching the floor. And from that place of relaxation, yet alignment, just be curious about your breath at this moment. Be curious about how is your inhale and how is your exhale and how is your transition between the inhale and the exhale and the exhale and the inhale. Just be curious. And now that you have your eyes closed, then think about a situation where you experience anxiety. It could be anything. It could be a specific relationship. It could be an event you have to be part of. It could be a lack of abundance of some kind in your life, whatever that is. And it doesn't have to be a huge, deep trigger, but something that, you know, creates in yourself, within yourself, some level of anxiety. And as you find that situation, your first step is to be curious about your physical body. So scan your physical body from your feet through your legs, your knees, your thighs, your lower belly and your lower back, going up through your chest, your neck, your face, your arms. Check every single aspect of your body. And when you think about that situation, when you access that situation that carries or creates some anxiety, where is it located in your physical body? Some of you, it's going to be in your chest, in your heart center. For others, it may be in your forehead, in your lower jaw. Just be curious. And as you just detect and locate that place of anxiety, also be curious about the shape of it. Is there a color? Is there a sound? Is there a shape? Is it sharp or soft? Is it heavy? Is it foggy or electric? Just be curious. And now we're going to start with this first exercise to help you relieve anxiety. So with your eyes closed and your mouth closed, you're going to roll your tongue in a clockwise position. You're going to push your tongue against the front of the mouth, so you're going to just make some circles and touch every part of your mouth with your tongue. So do some circles in a clockwise position. There is a yogic beauty about that meditation, because that is a meditation, believe it or not. We'll talk about it later. Keep rolling your tongue, don't stop. We're going to do it a little longer. Thirty more seconds this way. Very good. So now keep the same exercise, but go into the other direction. So counterclockwise, roll your tongue in your mouth. Side up, side down. it's beautiful. There's a shift that you are creating now. I can experience it. It's wonderful. Very nice. 30 more seconds. Take a deep breath in, hold the breath in, release the breath, and be curious about your experience now. I will explain why you guys are doing it. It's a very potent real tool you can use anytime. So we're going to jump right away to the next tool or the next meditation that you're going to do for about 3 minutes. So as you keep your eyes closed, go back to your regular breath pattern. And be curious now about your breath, but this time not about how you are breathing, but which nostril, which part of you is breathing the most. So is it the right nostril or the left nostril? Because pretty much every 2.5 hours, we breathe more from one nostril than the other when the body is in balance. The body is going to shift automatically. And so at this moment, I want you to pay attention about what is your dominant nostril. And when you know it, when you sense it, what you do is you enhance your breath from that dominant nostril. So you feel that either all you're breathing now is through the right, or all you're breathing now is through the left nostril. You don't use your fingers to do that. Okay, very good. So now without using your fingers, shift your breathing towards the other nostril, just with your focus. So focus, put your mind on the other nostril and accentuate your breath from that other nostril. And eventually you're going to feel within a couple of seconds, not a lot of time, that you can shift and do alternate nostril breathing without using your fingers.
Very good. One more time, shift again, using your focus, using your intent, using your mind toward the nostril of origin, the first one you started with. And last time, shift again. Very good. And take a deep breath in through both nostrils. Hold the breath in. Breathe a little more. And release the breath. And before you open your eyes, be curious. Be curious about that experience of those two back to back. And at this moment, how does it feel? And you may have a word or two that express your experience, but just be curious. So here you have already two things, two techniques, two meditations that you can use. So I want to explain very quickly what's going on with the first two meditations. Some of you like to understand how things work. Your tongue, the first one, rolling your tongue one way and the other. Your tongue has a lot of nerves in it. In your mouth, you have also lots of meridian points. And so what you're doing when you massage those meridian points and also massage your nervous system, because your tongue holds so many, you send signals to the hypothalamus that's going to send signals to the pituitary gland and then rebalance your glandular system and your nervous system. And what the yogis know is that anxiety comes from an imbalance of the nervous system. So that's what you're doing there. You rebalance the nervous system. The second meditation, which the title of that meditation is Meditation to Prevent Freaking Out. So that's the title. Is by doing alternate breathing. Without using your fingers, you have to be present a little more. You have to be centered a little more. And when we start to be present and centered, we can't have a lot of anxiety. We may feel some pain, but we don't have that overwhelming anxiety. So that's number one. Number two, again, by doing alternate nostril breathing, what you do is you rebalance the right and the left brain. And again, so therefore you rebalance again the nervous system. When you inhale through the left nostril, you accentuate, you create some energy into the right brain. And when you inhale through the right nostril, you create more energy into the left brain. It works diagonal. And so you again rebalance the whole system. So now I want to go through something else, which is exploring five typical situations that create anxiety in a person. And I'm going to go back over and over and over through those five situations, and each time I will give a little more information. So your job is to assess and to detect in some ways which situation fits you the most when you experience anxiety.
And that's also going to be interesting for you to hear those five situations, because that may help you understand people around you from a different place and maybe have more compassion, or some of your clients, whatever you do. So if you have a sheet of paper, just create five columns so that we can talk about those five situations. And for each of them, there will be different exercises that I'm going to give you. So the first situation that creates anxiety in a person is when you don't feel safe. So you can write as a title, lack of safety. And we're going to go back to that. The second situation that creates anxiety in a person is when you don't experience meaning. Like, life may be stable in any way, shape, or form, but you feel empty. There's a lack of meaning. Second situation. Third situation is when it's hard for you to trust others, trust the universe, in some ways having faith, but it's first lack of trust. So that's the situation number three that can create anxiety. The fourth situation is when you don't feel free to express all the parts of who you are. You think that you have to belong. Like, for example, if you are Christian, you cannot practice Buddhism, for example. So the fourth situation is lack of freedom, freedom of expression. And the last situation, number five, is when you don't feel nurtured, when you feel isolated, abandoned, ignored, you're not nurtured. You're alone, but more in the sense of isolation. So I will say it's lack of nurturance. So here you have those five main situations. And I'm going to go back to those situations, offering different levels of information so that you may be able to relate and giving different exercises. So the lack of safety, the first one, or one of the things you experience is either you have experienced lack of abundance or lack of guidance. And so you need always to feel protected. So it may be your situation or people you know in your life. So for some people, it may be expressed by they always need more. They always need more from you, more money, more this, more that. For some of them, they always need more guidance and more reassurance, like being sure that they're doing and they're making the right decision. So they deep inside, they don't think they are able. They don't think they are able to create abundance, or they don't think they are able to make the right decision. There's that creates anxiety. So that's the first one. The second one is the lack of meaning. It's in fact, the lack of spiritual connection. So everything may be working in many ways, but there is such a routine in life that everything may be a little bit on automatic and it feels dry, it feels empty. There is a lack of emotion there in some way. And so everything is kind of predictable. The third one, the lack of trust, it's more often it's going to be people that have experienced betrayal in their lives in different ways. And even as a little kid, if my parents divorce, I'm going to feel betrayal. And that's an emotion. Doesn't mean that's what's the case. But so feeling betrayal can be in many ways, shapes, or forms. And so that's going to be the situation of lack of trust, and the tendency here is going to be sometimes to be always guarded, always thinking ahead, being able to rest and to relax, for example, and sometimes being able to receive. The fourth situation, the lack of freedom, as we talk a little bit about it, it's about freedom of expression. So here, there is a conflict or inner conflict, because usually when that is the source of anxiety, those people or you are also very sensitive to flow and harmony. So on the one hand, you want to be sure that there is flow and harmony around you. And on the other hand, you want also to express yourself fully and perhaps all the facets of who you are. And there is deep, deep inside of you a belief that you can only express some of them to keep the flow. And so the question for you is going to be, do I choose myself and trust that that will create harmony? Or do I put harmony first and then I never fully express myself, which is a source of anxiety? And then the last one, the lack of nutrients. Here there is a true belief, because you haven't been nurtured at a very early age. Most likely started already with your mother. It was not available, was not there for different reasons. And so what happened is you have the belief that in order to create oneness, that sense of wholeness within you, you need to merge with a person. You can only experience that in a merging, in a we-ness in some way. And so your whole job is going to be to find that sense of oneness on your own without feeling that anxiety. So those are the five situations. So now what I want to do, I'm going to go back again and again a few more times. And here I'm going to give you some journaling questions for each of these situations. So the first one, which is about the sense of lack of safety, the journaling question is, what makes me feel safe and abundant in life? What makes me feel safe and abundant? And that is an exercise you can do. And like most exercises that I give, I really believe in the 3-minute exercise, because that's pretty much what everybody can do. Beyond 3 minutes, nobody can pay attention to anything. So you journal 3 minutes a day for at least 20 days in a row on the question that is connected to your particular situation, because it will give you a lot of insight. So that's the question for the lack of safety. What makes me feel safe and abundant? The question for a person who experiences a lack of meaning, a lack of deep fulfillment, a lack of depth, the question is very simple. What brings me joy? What brings me joy? Same thing, 3 minutes a day. For the third situation, regarding the lack of trust, the question is, what do I need to create in my life to trust? What do I need to create in my life to trust? That's the question, the journaling question for the third situation. Regarding the lack of freedom, where you feel you can express all the part of who you are, the question is, what makes me feel free? What makes me feel free? And then the last question, for the last situation where you don't feel nurtured, the question is, how can I experience wholeness within myself? How can I experience wholeness within myself? So here you have another tool, and I really invite you just to, you know, to relate to one situation and to journal on that. Now let's go back two more times on each of these situations. So when you don't feel safe, what's going to be important for you is to feel that you're capable and to feel that you're able to do things. And so to surround yourself with people that are very supportive, and because that's what you're going to need first. So you're going to need to ask for a lot of stroke, a lot of positive feedback. And if that's what helps you, why not? And in those cases, you may also need to find a mentor, a teacher, to support you on your guidance and to help you trust your talents and your gifts. Trust yourself. And so be able to rely on your own skill in a way and your own brilliance. So that's your job, that's your homework. For the second situation, when you get anxiety because there's not enough meaning in your life, your job is to create really a sense of adventure, a sense of renewal, a sense of ongoing joy in your life. And it could be as simple as buying flowers at least once a week, or to reinventing how you wake up in the morning or how you go to bed at night, to shape differently your weekends if you don't work during the weekend and so forth. So it's just like your job's going to be to pause and to be creative, because your life is too much on automatic. Even if it's very busy, it needs to shift. If you are more in the third situation, lack of trust, your whole job is to receive, to learn to receive more. Because what you're going to need to do is to open your heart and to trust your heart instead of trusting your head. And I'm sure some of you know that teaching that says the longest journey a man can take is to go from the head to the heart. And so that's what you need to do. So you may even have a receiving journal, by the way. So it could be asking for help more often and not when it's too late. Could be your job. Or could be just paying attention of how much you really receive instead of taking care of everything and everybody constantly. So be curious about that. That's your focus. If you're in the fourth category, lack of freedom, and you feel you can't express all of the parts of who you are because either you're going to feel judged or people are not going to understand you or you're not going to be accepted and so forth, obviously your job is to really, really express everything. And so perhaps belong to different groups that have different interests, different styles, perhaps in some areas, different values, but they can still communicate. And that in those groups, you just fully express yourself without holding back. So that's where the pain comes. And in the last one, in order to feel that sense of wholeness within yourself, because you have a lack of nurturance, you have to pay attention to what feels good, which is a little bit different than what brings you joy. You pay more attention and feels good because the nutrients first happens at the physical level, at the cellular level, at the physiological level. So we need to pay attention to how the body responds. So does it feel good to sit beside this person or not? Does it feel good? You know, so we pay attention to that pretty much on a regular basis. So I'm going to go one more time on one more round here, and I'm going to give a mantra for each situation. And basically, that mantra that you can use, and you can use it in many ways, shape, or form. I will give you two options today to use that mantra. So in the situation of lack of safety, your mantra is, I am safe. I am. So you can write that down if that's yours. I am safe. I am. If you belong to the second situation, lack of meaning, your mantra is, I am joy. I am. I am joy. I am. And then we go to the third situation, lack of trust. And in that situation, your mantra is, I am love, I am. I am love, I am. In the fourth situation, lack of freedom, as you can see how I operate, then the mantra is going to be, I am free, I am free, I am. And the last mantra is going to be, I am whole, I am, I am. I am whole, I am, I am. So that is the mantra. And so it's really important when you see that mantra that there is the first sentence, I am safe, but you don't stay there. Because if you were only going to say, I am safe or I am joy, there is still a constriction there. By saying, I am twice after that, it just opens up. It gives you a sense of infinity. It just helps you to go beyond the linear brain, the linear mind that's not going to help you for a lot of things. And certainly not in my world. I don't really care about the linear brain. It's very limiting a lot of times. So that's why we want that. So another exercise you can do with that mantra, if you like it, if it's fun for you, you do a collage. And so you do a collage or whatever that is. I am love, I am, I am. And we know that when we do a collage, that the visual creates an energy that is a great shifter for who we are. Every performer on this planet Earth, either in the arts or in sports, because I know both fields, use a lot of the visual to succeed, to not get caught, to shift visualizing success one way or another. So when you create a mantra that visualizes, a collage, sorry, that visualizes your mantra, you just give force to what you truly want. And you can also have your mantra on the collage, as you know. And if you're doing that, I'd love for you to do it and to email me your collage. That would be so much fun. And then you find a way to put it somewhere where you can see it on a regular basis. So, and you can take a picture, put it on your phone, screensaver, or on your fridge. I don't care. But that's one way you can use that mantra. So, before we go further, what I'm interested now is to do some question and answers. And if you want, if you have a question or you want some guidance there based on anything, either things I just talked about now, or anything related to the topic of anxiety that you want some guidance, then what you have to do is you have to press on your phone *2. So you press star and the number 2. And that, then that gives me the indication that you want to speak up. And then we get going. So anybody that wants some guidance, press *2, and then we get going. And Nick, okay, here we are. So 515, who is that? Because I have the number, but I don't have the name.
Yeah, it's Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, is that what you said?
Yep, Anne-Marie.
Okay. So, hi, thank you for speaking up. So, what's your question?
Hi, okay, so I've been having some anxiety more about, like, acting, and I don't know if it's, like, maybe the right thing for me, or it's something that I've always wanted to do my whole life, but I haven't really taken, like, a big step. I've taken some classes, but I haven't really, like, gone, like, for it wholly. So I'm just, I don't know if it's...
Okay, no, that's a great question. So I'm going to tell you what I see in your energy field as soon as you showed up. Your anxiety, and I'm sure you can feel that, you carry a lot of your anxiety in your upper chest. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's where, like, it's like, wow, I see your chest and you can barely breathe there. And so
yeah.
What happened is when you carry your anxiety there, the energy never goes down when we are tense. The energy always goes up. And guess what? Then the energy will go into your head. And your head is most of the time your best enemy, you know, because then you're going to spin, you're going to doubt, you're going to question exactly what you're doing. So for somebody like you, we need to find a way to help you relax and not carry this anxiety. So at this moment, I don't know if acting is right for you, but I'm going to tell you what I hear that's going to help you to relax. Number one is swimming is good for you. Do you like to swim? The water is good. That's what I'm hearing when I see your energy. So, I don't. Do you spend time in the water at all?
Not lately. I used to swim a lot when I was younger. I was on the swim team.
Okay. Oh, you were in the swim team. So guess what? It's still showing up in your field. So if I were you, you know, I don't know where you live right now, but if you can spend more time in the water, you know, it just helps you to rebalance yourself and to be less in your head. That will be number one.
Okay.
Number two, you are very creative, extremely creative and extremely eclectic in your creativity. It makes me smile. And so what I will invite you to do is to, without, at this time, without engaging in one thing and saying, oh, I have to do this and I have to be good, because that's what you say right now. I have to do this and it has to work. I will invite you first to spend time trying a lot of different things. But it's more like to nurture yourself, to feed yourself. And it could be a lot of different things. Like I see art and craft, a very different kind of style. And when you do that with others, even with kids, by the way, but with, you know, in different groups or classes, you start to allow the different part of yourself to be expressed without questioning what you need to do, that whatever, pay the bill or whatever your, you know, your thing is. Because it's too early. We need first to rebalance your system before you choose completely a direction. Does it make sense?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And stop there. Right now, I'm not saying acting is not good for you, but I am not saying that acting is not good for you, but I'm saying that's not your first priority right now.
Right, not right now. Do you see anything that I should prioritize right now or any direction? It's more like
the two things that
career-wise.
The two things that I just told you will help you to build up your system. And for you, the first exercise that we did, the mouth, rolling the mouth, you know, the tongue, both ways, will be really a good exercise for you, if I had one to pick.
Okay.
And I know you want to know the answer, so there is an anxiety there. But first, I keep hearing from your guides, Play. You have to let go of having an answer right now. It's a little too early. Within a couple of months, it's going to be much better if you really focus on what I shared right now.
Okay. There's one more thing. There was like a massage therapy course that I might be starting to take, and I'm wondering if that's something that I should follow through with or not. I've also been kind of double...
Okay, but when you say that, what's your experience with that? Do you like doing that or what?
Yeah, I like working with the body and healing and like the healing arts and like the whole.
I mean, there is so much, so much in your head that it's hard for you to connect to your heart, but that's okay. I would say you could do that because that's going to give you something to chew on, and it's not a heavy duty study or heavy duty investment, and it will help you to ground. So I say, go for it.
Right, okay, that's kind of what I thought.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to be a massage therapist for the rest of your life.
Okay, right, yeah.
But for now, it could be a good first step.
Okay.
Sounds good?
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. Is there you're welcome. Is there anybody else that wants some insight one way or another? Okay, so who do we have now? Who is on the call?
Tish Paul, this is Lanella. Hello?
Oh, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yay, very good.
I have
a quick
question. You know, it's a great exercise, and I will practice these meditations, but when I have anxiety, which isn't a lot of anxiety, but the pressure of a little anxiety from maybe five different responsibilities, it's like hard to compress from one to go to the next task without feeling anxious that the first task wasn't complete.
Does that I hear what you say. Okay. And so do you experience your anxiety more in your digestive system? Is that where you experience it most of the time?
No, it's usually in my lower back.
Okay, because I feel it in your digestive system too, by the way. So that's where I see it. So so one of the things for you is your mind goes very quickly. You go very, very fast. And perhaps at time what I'm hearing is you go a little too fast, but you love the quality of things. And so what will happen if you say no more often or if you slow down? What would happen if you slow down?
I might be more anxious.
That's what your mind says. That's what your mind says. But I'm not sure that's true. Because I suspect you never tried to slow down yet in your life.
Well, what are my angels saying to fly away from all of my anxieties and just sell headbands on the beach?
Yes, but I'm and also, you know, there is a part of you, that's what I'm hearing now, that can go all or nothing. So all this, you know, fast speeds, 3 zillion things at once, or bang, nothing maybe for a little while, and then all, and then nothing. And what I keep hearing is you need to try different gears. Yeah, different pace, different speeds.
Okay.
And your mind is telling you, oh, no, 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 that can't be true, that can't work. And if you give yourself permission to have different speeds, it's going to be way better. And so which category did you put yourself into? Which situation did you put yourself into in the 5 situations, Linnell?
let's see. Not feeling nurtured. Isolation.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. That's okay. Because what I'm hearing for you is at some point I will put you more into the lack of freedom, believe it or not.
Yeah, I have that too. That's
yes, because that's what I think is running the show right now, where you love to create harmony. You want to be sure everybody's going to be happy 24/7, and I mean in a good way. And out of that, you put so much expectations on how things needs to be done and solved and taken care of and all that kind of things, that you don't allow yourself to say, okay, I hear you. We don't have an answer yet. Well, let's wait. I have other things to do. And so giving yourself permission to not just be always ready for everybody or have things done at the speed of light. And so what I would love for you to do or to explore the idea, and we could go deeper in a other time, of how can you express even more of who you are, who you truly are, even to your clients. Am I making any sense?
Yes, I'm right taking notes. I like that. I don't have the answer yet. Feeling,
yeah.
Not to verbalize it, but to feel okay with that space.
Yeah, because you have a wide range of expression and a wide range of creativity and an amazing ability to be sensitive to everybody's needs. And you're a great surfer, yet you need to show up. And like a mystery, like we never know who we are. We kind of express ourselves moment to moment, and there's one part of us that's going to show up more at that moment and another part at another moment. And so when you allow that to happen, I will suspect you will not experience anxiety the same way.
Okay, that makes sense. It just, the anxiety is not like a freak out anxiety. It feels like it wants to steal my peace because I'm very peaceful, but these different anxious moments feels like it wants to take my peace away.
I completely get it. So food for thought on this one. But I would love for you to do a collage about I am free.
Okay.
That's your homework. Sounds good?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. So we have room for one more. If anybody wants to show up or to express something, otherwise I'm going to keep on going. Nobody else? Okay. Thank you guys for sharing. So I want to give you an other meditation, and you're going to use your mantra, the mantra that I've been sharing connected to your particular situation. So the meditation we are going to do now is you are going to inhale in 8 strokes, 8 sniffs in through the nose. So little sniff in as you inhale. So you break the breath in 8 strokes on the inhale through the nose. And then you're going to exhale in 1 stroke through the nose. As you're doing the exhale in silence, you're going to repeat your particular mantra 3 times. So suppose my mantra is I am free. Then 3 times in my head during the exhale, I'm going to say, I am free, I am, I am. I am free, I am, I am. I am free, I am, I am. And then I go back. I inhale in 8 strokes, and then I exhale in 1 stroke, and 3 times I'm repeating this mantra in my head. So that is what we're going to do now. So close your eyes. Again, check your posture, check your physical posture. Be sure that your face is relaxed, that your shoulders are relaxed and open. Always go to this basic check-in. That your belly is soft, your butt muscles are soft, that you're not tilted to the left or to the right, to the front or to the back. And you can put your hands on your lap facing up. And from that place, you're going to start inhaling in 8 strokes. For some of you that are new to that form of breath, you may not be able to go up to 8 the few first time. That's okay. Go to how many strokes you can do on 1 inhale, and you will get there. So for 3 minutes, we're going to do that. take a deep breath in. Hold the breath in. Release the breath. That is also an ancient meditation. When you breathe in strokes, you break the patterns of the brain. And that usually is one of the sources of anxiety. The brain is going to tell us things. And then we're going to believe that our thoughts are real. So the stroke breath is a great way to release any stress. That's number one. 8-to-1 ratio, inhaling in 8 and exhaling in 1, is a great ratio also to release stress. And then by supporting yourself with a mantra that really is yours, is part of your soul longing, that's why you came on earth, to really experience that and in some way teach that. That's going to remind you who you truly are. So as you keep your eyes closed for this moment, just take a deep breath in and fill yourself with light. And send this light to anybody that comes to your mind, your heart at this moment. You don't even have to choose. See who comes when you want to give this light and this energy of hope and healing. And exhale. And one more time, take a deep breath in and hold the breath in. And as you hold the breath in and you feel yourself in with this light, share it. Even if you hold the breath in, share it with whoever, the whole universe, this planet, your family, anyone that comes to your awareness at this moment, perhaps somebody from 50 years ago, if you are 50 and over. And exhale. And one last time, take a deep breath in. And this time, feel yourself in. And just nurture yourself. Be grateful about showing up and seeking and exploring and wanting to keep raising your vibration and deepen your healing. And so be grateful and say thank you to yourself to show up. And exhale. And so we are at the end of our healing circle today. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your sharing. Also, some of you share. That's wonderful. The call is recorded. You're going to get the recording, I suspect, tomorrow. You have lots of exercises you can do. Anyone, you know me enough, so if you want to go deeper, you can always have a one-on-one phone session with me. And the next virtual healing circle is going to be June 11, which is a Thursday again at 6 p.m. And the topic is going to be on how we can heal deeper and faster. So we're going to explore lots of techniques to help us create any kind of healing at a deeper level and a faster pace. So thank you again and have a great evening. I love you all. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Thank you.